I ask that you'd please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're still in chapter 5. We're going to be finishing up 5 before Advent, and we'll return to chapter 6 probably late January. Matthew 5. We're going to be looking at verses 33 to 37. I say you please stand for the reading of God's Word. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I encourage you to keep God's word open before you. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father, you speak to us as we're in your word. And Father, what every one of us does want is ultimately to be spoken to. Father, whether we ultimately want to hear the truth or not is, that's the open question. And Father, whether we want it or not, you speak it. So Father, we ask that we might be those who want it, that we might live by the truth. That's what it is to follow your Son. So please help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I could deal with the fact that he cheated on me, if you'd just be honest about it. Those words were spoken to me over a decade ago by somebody valiantly trying to save a marriage, and they stuck with me, and the reason they stuck with me is because it shows that what we're going to study today with telling the truth is not a small thing. It's a really, really big thing. You can deal with almost anything if you're dealing with somebody who's telling the truth. But if you're dealing with somebody who's not going to tell the truth, and you're not sure if they're telling the truth, then you can't deal with much. Telling the truth matters more than we think. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's the way forward. And that's the claim of this sermon. We see this need for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth by contrast in our first point, which is your word is your bond. This is number 4 of 6 times that Jesus is going to open us up, and he's going to open us up because we have a tendency to think that the problem's out there. We have a tendency to draw lines. We're very much, in many ways, like children watching a movie, and they want to know, who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys, right? That's what little kids want to know when they're watching a movie. Mom, who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? Well, the bad guys, murder. Right? The bad guys, they kick their wives to the curb. And Jesus says, okay, no, not so fast. You got that same murder rolling around in you too. You got that same impulse to lust. That's in you too. You got that same impulse to run. That's in you too. Problem's not just out there. You got a lot to mourn over in you too. And those are the only people Jesus helps. He helps one type of person. Blessed are those who mourn over their sin. those are the only ones he's going to wind up comforting in the end. So the question for you is Jesus going to help you? You can answer that question with confidence right now. The question is, do you mourn over the sin that you find within you? But now even this can be twisted. I want you to see how insidious sin is here. We've been seeing, this is our fourth week now, where we're going to see how sin takes God's word, completely twists it around to cover over sin, to excuse sin. And even this idea of opening the heart can be twisted to excuse sin. Here's how it goes. Well, look. Me cheating on my wife is no worse than somebody else looking at pornography, because no sin's worse than another. Right? Jesus said, no sin's worse than another. It's all the heart. Jesus would have no patience for something like that. Absolutely no patience for something like that. He's got no patience for people twisting his word in the Old Testament. He's got absolutely no patience for people twisting his word in the New Testament to excuse sin. And we got to recognize that impulse is within us. Either we let it flourish and let it drag us to hell, which is where it takes you, or you fight against it. And you say, God, help me. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Nobody's clean. That doesn't excuse wallowing around in filth and saying, you know, Jesus said. If you're there, you change your mind. Another way of saying change your mind is repent. Just don't try to drink a different flavor of sin and think you're doing something different. So let's see how we humans can twist even the truth. Verse 33, again, you've heard it was said to people long ago, don't break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. But I tell you, don't swear at all. So the problem here was that people were now misusing oaths. Oaths are solemn promises. I'll have it to you by 5 o'clock Friday. I swear to God. Okay. Oh, I swear to everything holy. I didn't see you back there. I didn't see you back there when I backed up my car. Why do you feel the need to swear to everything holy? Why do you feel the need to swear to God about having it there at 5 o'clock, or that you didn't see him there when you backed up? It's a way of trying to underline that you're telling the truth. So we do that at times. We ask that sometimes for other people. Little kids do this. Could you bring my book tomorrow to school? Yeah, okay. Promise? Promise. Swear? Swear. Pinky swear? Pinky swear. And then you know it's fine, right? Because it has been pinky sworn, it will happen now. Now, Jesus, he has no problem with the pinky swear. Jesus has no problem with that. He's got a problem, not with oaths, but with the fact that oaths seem necessary. The very existence of oaths is proof that there are such things as lies. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it, if lying were unknown, there would be no need for oaths. What Jesus thinks is that we should all say what we think what we say, all the time, because then no oaths would be needed. No pinky swears would be needed. You're only asking for a pinky swear if there's a sense of, I really don't think you're actually going to do what you say. So Jesus, he's arguing this because the oath had been hijacked by lies. I swear to God had just become part of the lie. And now it's an even deeper lie. What truth-telling had essentially become is a game of Simon Says. All right, we all know, most of us hopefully know, Simon says. Simon says, tap your foot. Everybody taps their foot. Simon says, wave. Everybody waves. Clap your hands. Oh. Right, didn't say Simon says. That's what O's had essentially become. But Simon, the name Simon, was Lord. If you included the name the Lord, I swear to the Lord, then you're bound. But I didn't swear to the Lord. Promised to love you, cherish you. Didn't swear to the Lord. Only swearing to the Lord is the only time you got to keep your word, apparently. Anything else? Good to go. Just make sure you don't put your hand on the Bible. It's promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you can say whatever you want, because I didn't say, didn't put my hand on the Bible. People were using this as a loophole. You look at verse 33, again, you've heard it was said to people long ago, don't break your oath, but keep the oath you made to the Lord. And people, it's intended to say, yeah, God's always your witness. People took it to say, as long as you don't say, I swore to the Lord, you're good to go. Do what you want. So the religious leaders developed a system to say, did you actually swear to the Lord? Levels of distance. How close did you come to swearing by the Lord? Did you swear by His name when you said it? Or did you swear by heaven? Because heaven could mean where the Lord lives. It could also mean where the birdies fly. Did you mean it where the birds fly, or did you mean it where God lives? You got to keep your promise or not. It depends. Well, what did you mean? Well, the earth, that's certainly, you don't need to keep that one. Swear in somebody's grave, well, that's on the earth. That's not where God is. It became so distinct that you could swear by Jerusalem, didn't need to keep the oath. If you swore toward Jerusalem, though, you needed to keep the oath because that's where the temple was, and that's moving in the direction of God. What do you think? Who knows what slippery nonsense lies behind that? And Jesus is saying it's all slippery nonsense if you're getting into that. Unless your word is your bond, you're messing around with the truth. And I see it. God is the witness. Everything you ever say, you're saying with God as my witness is what Jesus is saying. And He is witnessing. That's verse 34 to 35. Don't swear at all. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it's His footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great King. He's saying, all of that has to do with God. He sees it all. If you talk, He hears it. So tell the truth. Message here is every statement you make is a cross your heart and hope to die statement. So Jesus, He's not against oaths. All right, we'll see David make an oath tonight. An angel swears an oath in the book of Revelation. Peter does it. Paul does it. The author of Hebrews does it. God Himself does it in the New Testament to underline His sincerity. What Jesus is about here is sincerity of speech. You just tell the truth. We're going to see what that looks like and what it doesn't look like in our second point. Simple truth telling. It's very natural for us to think back about this business with the oaths and say, well, thank God we're not like those people. We don't have an elaborate system to determine whether or not somebody made a binding oath. We're not like that at all. No, but we are part of a culture which we live and move and have our being, which is piped regularly into our house by any forms of media and which we interact with all day long, which makes an absolute bestseller out of a book like Never Be Lied To Again. Bestseller. Never Be Lied To Again. The reason that book is a bestseller It's not just because it hurts to get lied to, although that hurts a lot. It's because it is a crazy maker to not know if you're being lied to. That's why that book's a bestseller. If you don't know if you're being lied to, you don't know whether more if North is up on the map anymore. You don't know. You got no idea. You got to rewrite the rule book of your life right from scratch in a situation in which you don't know if you can, in which you don't know if you're being lied to or not. So we live in a culture of lies, wants to cover up the truth. And even our best impulses, just like even the word of God that Jesus is saying here, can be hijacked by that. Jesus cuts through all of this and just makes it clear that evil lies behind anything less than the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's nothing but evil behind anything less than that. That's when he says, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything less comes from the evil one. Now, we've got within our own hearts a big problem for letting our yes be yes and our no be no. We don't find that naturally very easy at all. Scripture is clear that we, you, me, naturally born liars. You're a natural born liar. I'm a natural born liar. When Blake was baptized, we said that. All right? I asked the question, do you believe that your children, though sinful by nature, ought to be received by God in His covenant? All right? Jacob and Cheyenne, they're not going to teach Blake how to throw a temper tantrum. Okay, Blake, make sure if you got a really hard toy, you just whip it at the wall. That really is going to make your temper tantrum really stick. I'm not going to teach her that. She'll know that. Well, if you got kids, never taught them how to sin, did you? No, they know. That's in us. It's in you. It's in me. All right, if we can't get agreement on that, we're just going to disagree. And then the question is ultimately, are you disagreeing with Jesus? Because at the end, you're going to stand before Him. Did you agree or disagree with Him? This is in you. It's in me. But we don't like to think of ourselves that way. Right? You don't like to think about yourself that way. I don't like to think about myself that way. We're not like the other people. So we draw new lines if we've crossed them, because I'm not like those people. I certainly haven't done that. We find somebody that has done something we haven't. I wouldn't do that. I'd be more courageous than that. I'd be more brave than that. I'd be tougher than that. I'd be more sensitive than that. I'd be kinder than that. I'd be a better listener than that. Not like them, am I? That's in you. That's in me. That's how we want to justify ourselves. Jesus says, cut it out. There's no justification there. You're going to ruin your life forever. Just say, you're like other people. You got a problem. But no, we want to redefine terms to convince ourselves we haven't lied. When President Clinton, when he was asked whether he lied to his top aides when he said, there's nothing going on between me and Monica Lewinsky. There is nothing going on. Rather than just saying, you know what, I did lie. What he said is, you know, it depends what the definition of the word is. That is no different than what goes on in bedrooms when parents are talking to their children about them lying. No different. If you think Bill Clinton's somehow uniquely a liar, wake up. Look inside. Look at me. Look at you. It's in you. It's in me. It's sin. We're here to deal with it. Put it to death. It will kill you. It's not out there. It's in here. It's in you. Jesus came to die to deal with it. Are you going to put it to death? Or are you going to live by lies? We lie by omission. Husband thinks nobody's home. Messes around on his phone, just looking around online, drifts towards pornography. Wife walks in, gets some scotch tape. I'm getting some scotch tape. Honey, what are you looking at? Just looking around online. Did he lie?
Did he say any words that were lies? He certainly didn't tell the truth, did he? No, he lied. Just lied by omission. We lie by adding wiggle clauses. Imagine an employee, she forgets to send an invoice, realizes it in the middle of the night, wakes up in the morning, sends it right out. Boss comes this afternoon, I got a call from the company. They don't have the invoice yet, but now this company had just recently moved addresses. She goes, well, I mean, they just went to a new address. They just moved to a new place. Check them with again in a week, see if they got it. I guess they just moved? Is that why it's late? You guess they just moved? That's why it's late? They went to a different address? Or did you lie? If you lied, just go to God and say you lied. Justifying it's not going to help you. It's just going to dig you deeper into the pit. You're not really going to feel better about yourself either. Because you can't lie to you all that successfully. We lie by shifting the blame. These are the first lies you see in Scripture. God asks Adam, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Well, the woman, and the woman that you gave me, I wasn't going to bring up the fact that you gave her to me, but you kind of put me on the spot. The woman you gave me, she pretty much told me to do it. Right? You got to do what your wife says, right? It goes to Eve. Well, the serpent deceived me. Tell the truth. Just tell the truth. The devil's behind all of it. That's why simply letting your yes be yes and your no be no is the way forward. The devil deals with everything and anything other than the truth. If it's a half-truth, which are very, very wicked lies, he's behind it. If it's a 5/6 truth, he's behind it. That's why Jesus says, you let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else comes from the evil one. The minute you mislead or are fine with somebody else being misled by what you've communicated, you've stepped onto his ground. That's not a place you want to be. We lie by exaggeration. We lie by speaking authoritatively in areas where we're not authorities. Lie and live in a culture of lies. And we tend to think that provided we're a little bit more little more honest than somebody else, that we're doing okay. I'm no Bill Clinton. Now you think I lied? Let me show you a liar. That's what's in us. People in Jesus' day, it just looked like, well, I didn't swear by the Lord. And Jesus just says, oh, come on. Just repent. Just quit playing games. That's largely what God wants, is for you and me to just quit playing games. Just to get real. This is the fourth time Jesus has opened our hearts. Now, perhaps for some of us, if you've got a perfectionist streak and maybe a really, really deep moralistic perfectionist streak where so much of your identity is wrapped up with not crossing those lines, this has been triggering for you. Maybe you're at a situation in which something in you is like, well, you know, of course. All right, I'm wrong. Right? Everything I say or do is wrong according to you. Those are the exact words. Somebody visiting heaven in C.S. Lewis's story. That individual had just been properly corrected by somebody in heaven, and correct individual says, you know, of course, all right? I'm wrong. But everything I say and do is wrong according to you. But of course, said the one already in heaven, shining with love and mirth so that my eyes were dazzled. That's what we all find out when we reach this country. We've all been wrong. That's the great joke. There's no need to go on pretending one was right. After that, we begin living. The way forward is to see yourself for where you're at, for who you are, and that before God, not before other people. That's where change happens. Angela Lansbury died about a month ago. She's saying here in the Beauty and the Beast, totally applicable, bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong. We've all been wrong. That's the great joke. There's no need to go on pretending one was right. After that, we begin living. That's what it takes for you to be comfortable with yourself. Not just in eternity, although you won't be comfortable with yourself in eternity, unless you believe that. Even to be comfortable with yourself now, you need to accept that. That's God's truth about you. And those who cling to that are those who can change and grow and learn to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask that you would give each of us the strength, and it's only by your Spirit, to keep these words, to follow your ways, to not live by lies. Please help us. Open our eyes. We ask that we would, Father, live a life that is true. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.